It's Woohoo Extra! Relax and spend some extra time with Holmesy. And now, here's Holmesy.
Good afternoon. It is indeed radio once more again. And as the nice lady said, we're going to enjoy a nice, relaxing hour of...
It's Woohoo Extra.
Woohoo!
It is indeed Woohoo Extra. Hope you're all doing well, having a pleasant afternoon on this Friday.
Woohoo!
And we're going to have a fun hour here, and we have a special guest that we'll be introducing in just a few moments. And we'll have some old-time radio and some music as well as our usual Woohoo Extra menu. Before we get started, just acknowledging a few people that said hello on the Facebook on a remote thread. Looks like we've heard from Joanne Peterson, Dennis and Marianne Westcamp, Mark Eddy, Helen Holmes. We know who she is. I thought I saw something just fly by. Oh, yes. Bon Romer. Hello, Bon. Thank you so much. A round of woohoos, folks. Here you go. Complimentary, of course.
Woohoo!
And another.
Woohoo!
One more.
Woohoo!
There we go. All right. And our special guest, we have the honor of joining us, Reverend Donna Christine Park. And she's a dear friend of us, and the organization is Walk a Mile in My Shoes on the Path to Peace.
Woohoo!
Hello, Donna Christine. Welcome to radio once more, and welcome to Woohoo Extra.
Well, thank you very much, Johnny, or Holmesy. It's such a privilege to be here. I've been watching and listening to you for quite a few years when I come to town, and it's such a privilege to be here with you today. And you, the other name you can call me is the little old lady in the shoes, Lolas.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I'm Lolas.
An acronym.
Yes, yes. Can't you see me doing the flapper thing?
Can you tell us, for the listeners that don't know, tell us about your wonderful organization, Walk a Mile in My Shoes on the Path to Peace, maybe a little bit about the history and the kind of things that you do.
It would be my absolute privilege.
Thank you.
Walk a mile in my shoes on the path to peace. It's commonly known as WAMS, and we are a shoestring global outreach ministry that invites the sharing of gently loved shoes, and we then distribute them locally wherever we are. We distribute the shoes locally to provide a sturdy foundation for a peaceful day to people who have no shoes. We began this project back in 2008. And it was literally whispered to my heart on the 25th of June, 2008. And since that time, we have shared shoes with more than 40,000 people around the country and also around the world. And so it is just an amazing privilege to have this opportunity to just to step forward to serve in this very, very simple way. So thank you for asking.
That's awesome. And we're going to be chatting a few minutes before we get into some old-time radio, and if you have a quick question or just want to say hello, you are welcome to give us a call. We're live. The Holmesy listener line is 609-845-3570. Again, that's 609-845-3570, and in about 10 minutes or so, we will be playing some old-time radio as well. Tell us, Donna Christine, how long have you been doing this organization?
Basically, we're in our 12th year.
Wow, that's fantastic. Now, here's the burning question for
you.
The burning question, because I know you keep decent records. What is the tally up to of as far as shoes given away in conjunction with all these shoe drives that you've had over the years? Just a ballpark figure.
Well, you've actually given me much too much credit because I lost track at 40,000 people served. I do have records, but they need to be tallied. So if you want to help me with that in the future, you're welcome to do that. But you know, one of the things that I like to share with people to introduce them to WHAMS is I ask a question. Have you ever considered that every pair of shoes you have tells a story? And this was a question that was introduced to my heart one day at a roller skating rink when I was eye to eye with a young boy. And he was interested in learning about the program. And I was sitting on my walker. And as I said, I was eye to eye with this little one. And I said, have you ever considered that every pair of shoes that you have tells a story? Did you go to a party with friends? Did you go to the mall? Did you come to the roller skating rink? And when that pair of shoes no longer serves you, and you make the choice to share with another child, a new story, a new chapter for those shoes begins with that for that child. And it's this little boy looked at me and his eyes opened up like bigger than saucers. And he said, I can do that. And that has been a mantra that I've held all these years. And we just delight in just the blessings that have been forthcoming as a result.
That's wow. That's a wonderful story. And the figure you did mention as far as people involved, served, is at least 40,000.
40,000, yes.
And, of course, that's the tremendous ripple effect.
Oh, absolutely.
The stories that get attached to that.
Absolutely.
So that's absolutely amazing.
And I have to say...
Oohs and ahs.
Ooh, I like that. You know, I have to extend an amazing note of gratitude to both you and Helen because you have been so supportive of WHAMS over the years, and you help with what I call WHAMS flip-flop adventure every year.
Ah, yes.
And in May and June, we invite the sharing of new flip-flops. It's the one time of the year that I ask for new. Otherwise, we ask for gently loved. And it's about integrity. When I say that your shoes are gently loved, it's your integrity, but then you're offering that same gift to the person receiving the shoes. And I take that very, very seriously.
That's wonderful. And the whole premise behind the flip-flops is during the summertime, mm-hmm. in the inner cities, mm-hmm. Many folks that just can't afford anything to cover their feet.
Right.
The hot pavement, mm-hmm. and you know, we kind of remember that as a kid when we walked around,
yes.
how intensely hot, mm-hmm. and we knew to get off it as quickly as possible.
Right.
And there's many folks that they don't have the means, mm-hmm. for that. So at the very least, the flip-flops helps them walk around without scalding their feet. And that's a wonderful mission, mm-hmm. that you do. And we're glad and honored to be proud. Part of that.
Well, it's a privilege. You know, living in Arizona, you're very aware of the heat of the pavement. And so we like to say we protect people from the heat of the pavement in this one very, very simple way. And during the year, we also do, for instance, right now, we have a little campaign that I call WHAM Super Bowl, S-O-U-P-E-R. And it's around the Super Bowl because several years ago when Arizona was hosting the Super Bowl, I was listening to the price of the tickets. And they were thousands of dollars. And I was thinking, in the shadow of that stadium, there are people that do not have access to a simple meal. And so we started collecting soup products, you know, whether it's ramen or, you know, canned soup with flip-top cans. Obviously, we have to think about who is receiving the item.
Mm-hmm.
So we also have a project throughout the year or in the year that's called Bompas Giving Partner. And we receive, in this past year, we received 30,000 pair. Let me, 30,000? 3,000. Gosh, I can't remember. I know I sorted them. But anyway, but we received new socks from Bompas, and we then distribute them throughout the Valley of the Sun. And what we've learned is that socks are one of the most requested items because people can keep their feet clean and dry in the heat of the summer and also during monsoon season in Arizona. So it's all these lessons that have been learned through just something, you know, that touched my heart. May I really quickly go back and say that the origin of WHAMS was hearing the statement, the thing that was needed on the ground more than anything else in the world in Iraq and Afghanistan were children's shoes. That is the phrase that initiated Walk a Mile in My Shoes on the Path to Peace. And we began sending shoes to military medics and chaplains in Iraq and Afghanistan. And in a 2.5-year period, we sent about 3,000 pairs of shoes to those individuals whom I called WHAMS team captains. And they served so well. And they shared with children in the area.
That's wonderful. Wow.
Thank you.
We're chatting with Reverend Donna Christine Park of Walk a Mile in My Shoes on the Path to Peace. And in celebration of this wonderful organization, WHAMS, I thought fitting we play a shoe-related song. So here we go with Carl Perkins, Blue Suede Shoes.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue. Knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place, and do anything that you wanna do. But honey, lay off of my shoes, and don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything, but lay off of my blue suede shoes. My house, steal my car, drink my liquor from my old fruit jar, and do anything that you wanna do. But honey, lay off of them shoes, and don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything, but lay off of my blue suede shoes. Rock! Money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything, but lay off of my blue suede shoes. But it's blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Yeah, blue, blue, blue suede shoes, baby. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. You can do anything, but lay off of my blue.
Carl Perkins, Blue Suede Shoes, here on Radio Once More, Woohoo Extra. Our guest is Reverend Donna Christine Park of WHAMS, which is Walk a Mile in My Shoes on the Path to Peace. Tell us, Donna Christine, where can anyone that wants to learn more about it or about your wonderful organization, or if they want to contact you, say
Thank
hello
you.
To you, how can we do that?
Well, we would
I'm getting
love...
all excited, sorry.
WHAMS would love to welcome you to our Facebook page, facebook.com/WHAMSnow, WAMMSNOW. And we would delight in having the opportunity to keep in touch and perhaps in the future do a shoe drive in your community as well. We call them WHAMS Community Shoe Drives. And that's what brings me to Mount Holly every now and again with the very generous and loving support of Johnny and Helen Holmes. So we are definitely woohoo WHAMS.
Oh, I love it. And hear that? That's an open invite, folks. So if you want to, you know, come up with an idea with something, some type of a shoe drive type thing. We do a lot of flip-flop drives here with the coffee shop where Helen and I hang out and with our church. So if you or you just want to say hello, touch base with Donna Christine. She's a really very sweet lady.
Thank you.
All right. So we'll continue this WHAMS shoe celebration. We do have some old-time radio now. We have an episode from Family Theater, and it's entitled In Each Other's Shoes.
Ooh.
It's the 141st episode in the Family Theater series, and originally aired on October 26, 1949. So here we go, folks.
Wow.
Exactly.
Woo-hoo!
So here we go, folks, in each other's shoes from Family Theater.
Family Theater presents Anne Blythe and Sterling Holloway. From Hollywood, the Mutual Network, in cooperation with Family Theater Incorporated, brings you Anne Blythe and Sterling Holloway in George Lathrop's comedy, In Each Other's Shoes. To introduce the story, your hostess, Anne Blythe.
Thank you, Gene Baker. George Parsons Lathrop was the son-in-law of Nathaniel Hawthorne. To a lesser writer, this might have meant remaining in the shadow of one of the great masters of American literature. But this was not true of George Lathrop. Poet, novelist, biographer, he was well able to stand upon his own literary feet. And his short stories had a quality of imagination and fantastic conception that caused them to live and breathe today. Both as wonderful examples of the mores of human behavior and as true comedy. We invite you then to listen to George Parsons Lathrop's rollicking short story, In Each Other's Shoes, and to our star, Sterling Holloway, who plays the role of its most human hero, John Crombie.
It all seems like a dream. Only 6 months ago, I, John Crombie, came to the great city of New York to seek my fortune. And today, a mere half year later, I own the entire metropolis, lock, stock, and barrel. The destinies of its 3 million people are held in the palm of my hand. Yes, it all seems like a dream. I reside at The Lawn. That's the city's most fashionable, expensive apartment building, where a regiment of servants snaps to attention to serve my needs.
Regiment, attention!
While my valet tends to my clothes...
Mr. Crombie, sir, your clothes are laid out for you, sir, Mr. Crombie, sir.
Blatchford, this suit. Haven't I seen something like it before?
Mr. Crombie, sir, I do believe that you wore it once, but that was over a year ago, sir. And I...
Blatchford, you know very well that I wear a suit only once. Sometimes not that often. Burn it.
Yes, Mr. Crombie, sir.
Where is my wallet?
The armored car is taking it to your office, sir.
And my pocket change?
Here, sir. I have your pin money right here.
Once a month, I visit my offices in Wall Street to decide the financial state of the world. Cheering, admiring throngs follow every foot of the way. And then the same annoying thing always occurs. As I reach my modest 200-story office building, Blanche Littimer, the world's richest and most beautiful girl, rushes out and throws herself at my feet.
Oh, please, Mr. Crombie, I beg of you, please just touch my head with your hand. I ask no more, even though my love for you is beyond words to describe. Just a glance, a mere touch of your hand. Please, Mr. Crombie, please.
Poor girl. Like millions of others, you cannot resist my manly charms. No, 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 my child. I shall not glance at you, nor touch your head. Your life is unhappy enough as it is. Why make your future unbearable? Blatchford, remove her from my path.
Yes, sir.
Well, Blanche's father, J. Latimer Littimer, Once one of Wall Street's greatest tycoons, was now only my office boy.
Oh, welcome, Mr. Crombie, welcome. Your office is all ready to receive you.
Thank you. Has it been dusted as I ordered, Littimer?
Oh, indeed it has, Mr. Crombie, with genuine gold dust.
Very well, Latimer Littimer. You may unroll the red velvet carpet and I shall enter. What's that?
That's, Mr. Crombie, that is the alarm system on your vault.
The alarm on my vault?
Yes, Crombie, you've been robbed. Your wealth is gone. You're now a pauper, sir. A veritable pauper.
No, my wealth can't be gone. It can't be.
Yes, but it is, Crombie.
Blatchford.
Hey, you are now a broken, penniless man.
No, it can't be.
So, spurned me, did you, Mr. Crombie?
Blanche.
Well, now that your wealth is gone, I realize that you're nothing more than an ugly, insignificant, ill-favored popple, Jerry.
Blanche.
Remove him from my path, Father.
Out of the way, scum.
Yes. We'll ride him out of town on a reel.
No.
Let's go. Take him away, the common, low-down popple, Jerry.
Penniless, poppery scum.
You're my slave now, Crombie. You hear? My slave.
No. You can't. This is some horrible dream. It's all a horrible, horrible... Hello?
Crombie?
Yes, sir, Mr. Blatchford.
Crombie, I have been calling the stock room for 5 minutes now.
Oh, you have, Mr. Blatchford?
Yes, Crombie. And you know what?
No. What, Mr. Blatchford?
Nobody answered, Crombie.
Oh, they didn't?
No, Crombie. And the next time it happens, you incompetent, dreamy idiot, you'll be fired.
Yes, sir, but...
You are undoubtedly the most stupid, moronic, incapable stockroom clerk that ever filled an inkwell.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Black.
Now get in here with 2 dozen paper clips and a ream of notepaper and right away. And the next time I catch you dreaming on the job, I'll skin you alive.
Yes, Mr. Blatchford. Fooey on you.
Here goes that, Crombie!
Yes, Mr. Blatchford. No way, sir! Well, no wonder my conquest of New York all seemed like a dream. It was a dream. And as for Blanche Littimer, well, we both lived in the Lawn apartment building, she and her father in a 20-room suite, and me in a remodeled tool room they let me have for sweeping out the basement every Sunday. Then, one day, as romance would have it, we found ourselves in the same elevator together. I finally brought all my courage to bear, and I spoke to her. Hello, Miss Littimer.
Hello there.
You remember me, of course, Miss Littimer.
Oh, why, of course. Of course I do. How could I forget? They never came back, you know.
Oh, they didn't?
No. We'll always be terribly indebted to you for that.
Oh, it was nothing. Was it?
Your floor, Miss Littimer.
Thank you. Yes, we'll always be grateful to you, Fido and I.
Fido?
And the next time he's afflicted with fleas, I'll certainly buy more powder from you. Bye now.
Yeah, goodbye, Fido. I mean, goodbye, Miss Littimer. And then came the fateful day. The day I'm going to tell you about. You see, I woke up kind of late that morning. It was raining very heavily, and I knew I'd have to hurry to get to work in time. I hastily grabbed my shoes from the hallway where I'd left them the night before for the porter to shine. I dressed in a flash, rushed to the office, and to my horror, I arrived 1.5 minutes late. And no sooner had I reached my desk in the stockroom... Hello?
Into my office, Crombie. At once.
Yes, Mr. Blatchford, at once.
Morning's practically gone. Do you realize that you are 1 minute and 33 seconds late?
Oh, so you see, I...
That amounts to 8 minutes and 38 seconds a week.
Yes, sir, will you...
Or 7 hours, 12 and a third seconds a year. What do you have to say to that, Crombie? What do you have to say?
Well, what could I say? I stood there, looked down at my shoes and wriggled my toes. There was something funny about them. They were dry. Oh, that was very peculiar because my shoes had a hole the size of a half dollar in each sole. And what with the rain outside, my feet should have been sopping wet. I wriggled my toes again. They were still dry. Then I realized what had happened. The porter had left somebody else's shoes at my door by mistake. And in my hurry, I hadn't noticed it. I was now standing before Blatchford in somebody else's shoes.
Well, Crombie, I'm waiting for an answer. What do you have to say?
Well, what else could I do? I answered him.
Why don't you shut up, blabbermouth?
What was that you said, Crombie?
Because I said... Why don't you shut up, blabbermouth? You know, Blatchford, I'm tired of being your slave in that dark room. I think I'll become a director of this company.
As a director of company?
Yes, Blatchford. Elections for the board of directors will be held next week. I think I'll run for chairman.
Crombie, will you're fired!
All right, fire me. And when I become chairman of the board, I'll fire you.
Get out of my office. Get out!
Fooey on you.
What?
I said fooey on you, Blatchford. Good day, sir. Oh, I strolled casually, magnificently, out of his office, chuckling delightedly to myself as I recalled the entire conversation. Oh, my God. And I got to the part about where he thought he had fired me. I fainted. Well, I know I should have been morose and depressed, but somehow unbounded courage seemed to rise through me from the soles of those strange shoes I was wearing. Somebody else's shoes. And those shoes, well, they walked me right into a large office at the far end of the corridor. And they kept going and going to an imposing-looking door in the rear. I opened it, and the shoes stepped right inside. And as the door started to close behind me, I caught a glimpse of the lettering on it. J. Latimer Littimer, Private.
What? What's the meaning of this confounded impudence, young man?
Oh, relax, Littimer, relax. You and I have business to talk over.
Oh, well, that's different. What do you mean? I don't discuss business with any unknown young squirt who walks unannounced into my office?
Then I'll introduce myself, sir. I am John Crombie, sir, your new business partner, sir.
You are? Really?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm glad to know you then, Crombie. Now, you listen to me, you...
No, you listen to me, Littimer. I came in here to discuss a little deal that can net us a couple of $1 million. But if you're going to fly into temper tantrums about it... Well...
Did you say...
Gesundheit.
Thank you. Did you say a couple of $1 million?
I did.
Net?
After taxes.
Well...
What, if you're not interested, of
not
course...
Not interested? Well, don't be silly, John boy. Sit down, dear fellow, and have a cigar. Have two. After all, what are a few cigars between old business partners, eh?
I have been fibbing to Littimer. Because, you see, from a position of vantage in Blatchford's firm, in the washroom one day, I overheard him boasting about an undisclosed surplus of some $3 million in the firm's treasury. And to my utter amazement, I suddenly found I had a plan whereby Littimer and I could corner the market. And the bountiful harvest of dollars would go to us, you see. And in return for my contribution, I asked only the modest sum of 50% of the profits and the chairmanship board of directors. Well, I finished my magnificent presentation, relaxed in my chair, and with an impressive flourish, I placed the end of my cigar in my mouth. No! Wrong end. Well, several gallons of water later, Littimer gave me his answer.
My boy, my dear, dear boy, this will be a coup worthy of
Gesundheit.
Thank you. Worthy of the greatest financial geniuses of all time.
Very well, then suppose you get started at once,
indeed
Littimer.
Indeed I shall, John.
Gesundheit.
Thank you. But I'd certainly like to get my hands on that idiotic, moronic imbecile first.
Yes? Who is that, Littimer?
The stupid, irresponsible Popple Jerry who traded shoes with me this morning.
Traded shoes?
Yes, yes. Someone switched shoes in the hallway last night without noticing it. I put these on. Did I call them shoes? Yeah. Would you believe it? There's a hole the size of a half dollar in each of the soles.
There is?
Yes, yes. So my feet got soaked in the rain this morning. That's why I have this... have this blasted cold. Believe me, I'd say that anyone responsible for such a dastardly trick should be drawn and quartered. At the very least, boiled in oil. What would you say, John?
Say, Mr. Littimer? I guess I'd just say... Gesundheit. Suddenly, everything had become horribly clear. My strange confidence and grasp of high finance. Mr. Littimer's submission to my forceful personality were due to a porter's error. For Littimer and I were literally standing in each other's shoes. Well, I left his office and hurried to the nearest shoe store to buy a new pair of shoes for myself. And then I rushed over to his apartment to return his shoes before he learned of my involvement in a horrible mix-up.
Oh, hello there.
Oh, hello, Miss Littimer.
I'm so glad you dropped around.
Yeah, you are.
Yes, I have a great deal to apologize to you for. Please, come in.
Well, thank you.
I don't know how you'll ever forgive me for confusing you with a flea powder salesman.
Oh, then you know that...
Of course. I should have known all along you were the termite man.
Well, I soon learned that Blanche Littimer was as intelligent as she was very beautiful. It only took me an hour to establish my true identity, and at the end of another hour, we were sitting on a davenport holding hands. And as I told her of the mix-up of the shoes, we were enjoying the story no end when the front door opened.
Well, John. John, my dear boy, I didn't expect to see you here.
And I didn't expect to see you so soon either, Mr. Littimer.
Well, it was this...
Gesundheit.
Thank you. It was this confounded cold. I thought I'd better come home early. But tell me, my dear boy... What are you doing here?
Oh, John dropped by to return your shoes, Daddy.
He did?
Yes, sir.
Well, now, that was awfully thoughtful of you, John. If you only knew how I suffered in these moth-eaten 10-cent paper-soled atrocities all day, you'd...
You'd...
But, Daddy, your face is turning the color of the Oriental
Rose.
Mr. Littimer?
How did you get my shoes, Gumby?
You see, Mr. Littimer, the porter made a little mistake, I guess.
Why, to think that a penniless, nincompoopish, dim-witted jackass who couldn't afford a pair of shoes with soles in them had the audacity, the ding-dang, Rasputin, gentle, feathered nerve to bamboozle me into thinking it was a financier. Crumby, get out of here. Get out of here before I... Yeah, that's better. And good riddance to rubbish. Blanche, if you ever let that four-fleshing junk hide in this apartment again, I'll...
Gesundheit.
Well, thank you, John, my boy. Get out!
I wandered out into the park, realizing at last that I, John Crombie, was a perpetual failure, doomed to remain a stockroom clerk and a bachelor for the remainder of my days. Oh, there was nothing for me to do but return to Mr. Blatchford on my hands and knees and beg his forgiveness.
You'll do absolutely nothing of the kind.
Hey, Blanche.
Why, it's ridiculous to think that a pair of shoes could alter a person's personality. If you're a financial genius in my father's shoes, you're a financial genius in your own.
But, Blanche, I don't feel like one. I feel just like a Hopple Jerry.
Oh, nonsense. You're a sweet, wonderful, kind, marvelous young man. So there.
Blanche, you mean that, Blanche?
Of course I do. What else could you be but sweet, wonderful, kind, and marvelous? When you're going to make $2 million for my father.
I left Blanche standing there in the park. I walked back to Mr. Littimer's apartment.
Now listen, Mr. Littimer.
Get out!
All 23 skidoo.
Give me...
What did you say?
Now, shut up. You're going to listen to me now.
I'm going to listen to you.
Yes.
And just why should I listen to you?
I'll tell you why. Because I'm a sweet, wonderful, kind, marvelous young man. That's why.
Oh, well, that's different. What?
Yes. And I'm going to make you $2 million, whether I'm a mere stockroom clerk or a billionaire. Now you're going to listen.
Keep talking, son. Keep talking.
Yes, sir. Well, Mr. Littimer listened, and I talked. The result? The next week, at the election meeting of the board of directors of Mr. Blatchford's firm...
And I have here, in proxies and voting stock certificates, 1,200 votes, and I cast them for myself, Theobald Z. Blatchford. As chairman of the board.
Blatchford for chairman.
And I, gentlemen, I have in voting certificates alone 12,000 votes. And as chairman of the board, I elect none other than myself, John Crombie.
Crombie for chairman. Phooey on Blatchford.
And so you have heard my story. It all seems like a dream. Only 6 very short months ago, I, John Crombie, came to New York to seek my fortune. And today I'm chairman of the board of one of the city's greatest corporations. And, well, as for Blanche and me, we had a perfectly wonderful honeymoon, traveling around the world. Twice. Then we returned home and examined our wedding presents. And you know, I do think that one of them is, well, sort of worthy of special mention.
Oh, John, look. It's Daddy's present to us. Isn't it unbelievably sweet of him?
Why, sure. I should say so, Blanche. Can you imagine your daddy giving us a pair of solid gold shoes?
And complete in every detail, John. Look, they even have holes in the bottoms of them.
Yeah. Oh, here's a card that came with them, Blanche. Wait a minute. What he had to say on it. Blanche, believe me, I never heard of anything so sweet and sentimental and poetic in all my life.
Well, what is it, John? What did Daddy write on the card?
Just one simple, all-embracing word, Blanche. Gesundheit.
This is Anne Blythe again. You know, there are a lot of unusual things about family theater, but here's something that really makes it different. Family theater has no commercial sponsor, and yet every father and mother in the country is a sponsor of this program, because every parent has the responsibility of making his home a place of happiness, a place of goodness, a place where God is known and family prayer is a daily practice. And family theater is successful if it helps you realize that the family that prays together stays together.
More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of.
From Hollywood, Family Theater has brought you In Each Other's Shoes, starring Sterling Holloway with Anne Blythe as your hostess. Others in our cast were Barbara Eiler, Ken Christie, Howard McNear, and Jim Nusser. This adaptation of George Lathrop's comedy was written by Sidney Marshall, with music composed and conducted by Harry Zimmerman, and was directed for Family Theater by Jaime Del Valle. Our family theater broadcasts are made possible by the thousands of you who felt the need for this type of program, by the Mutual Network, which has responded to this need, and by the hundreds of stars of stage, screen, and radio who have so unselfishly given of their time and talent to appear on our family theater stage. This is Gene Baker inviting you to be with us next week at this time when your family theater will bring you Barbara Britton, Arthur Shields, and Dan O'Herlihy in King O'Toole and St. Kevin. Join us, won't you? Family Theater is heard in Canada through the facilities of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation and is broadcast to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is the world's largest network, the Mutual Broadcasting System.
And there was our family theater episode. Again, it was entitled In Each Other's Shoes and originally aired on October 26, 1949. You're listening to Radio Once More, where
it's Woohoo Extra.
Woohoo!
Yes, and this Woohoo Extra is extra special because we have a wonderful guest.
We have Woohoo Whams.
We do. Reverend Donna Christine Park. From Walk a Mile in My Shoes on the Path to Peace. And We were chatting while the show was playing, Donna Christine, about all the different places you've been to, approximately 10 different states, give or take. You had a wonderful trip to Korea. I guess that was, what, a year or two ago?
2014.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's been a while.
That's 6 years ago.
I know. Can you believe
that?
Wow. Yeah.
And you have another. You're actually in the midst of a big trip. Tell us about that.
I am literally on my way to Kenya. I'm going for a conference, but definitely WAMS is going with me. And we will be taking flip-flops to share, as well as school supplies and some other items. And it is such an amazing blessing to have the opportunity to step forward with WAMS in this particular way.
That's awesome. Wow.
Thank you.
Take a lot of pictures.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And again, if people want to contact you, say hello to you, what are some of the best ways they can do that?
Well, we are, of course, very active on Facebook at facebook.com/WAMSNOW, WAMMSNOW. And we will welcome the opportunity to engage with you in the near future, hopefully near future. And we celebrate our birthday in June. We will be back with Johnny and Helen to do the flip-flop adventure in May or June. So perhaps I'll be able to have an opportunity to come back and chat with you again. It would be such a privilege to do so.
That would be awesome.
Yes.
And you also have a wonderful song that you've sort of made your unofficial theme song.
Yes.
Tell us about that song, and we're going to play it.
Do you know there's a song that was sung by two people, as a matter of fact. One was Elvis Presley, and one was Joe South. And I particularly like the Joe South rendition of Walk a Mile in My Shoes. And as we play this song today, I invite you to really listen to the words. And one of the things it says, before you abuse, criticize, or accuse, walk a mile in my shoes. And I don't know about you, but right now I have God bumps because it reminds me of how absolutely true and profound those words are. And so this little old lady in the shoes offers this to you as my gift, and I really hope that you'll listen and consider the message.
Awesome. And we're going to play that in just a moment. I just want to mention, we also heard from our good buddy Jim McQuaig, and we also heard from my cousin, Tony Holmes. Thank you, folks, so much.
Woo-hoo.
A round of woo-hoos.
Woo-hoo.
And another.
Woo-hoo.
One more.
Woo-hoo.
I like that. We got a live one along with that. That's awesome.
Uncontrollable.
We're having fun.
Yes.
All right. So here we go. Here's that wonderful musical number Donna Christine chatted about from 1970. Joe South and the Believers. Walk a Mile in My Shoes.
If I could be you, and you could be me, for just 1 hour. If we could find a way to get inside each other's mind. If you could see you through my eyes, instead of your ego, I believe you'd be surprised to see that you've been blind. Walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile in my shoes. Hey, before you abuse, criticize and accuse, walk a mile in my shoes. Now your whole world you see around you is just a reflection. And the law of karma says you're gonna reap just what you sow. Yep, you. So unless you live the life of total perfection, you better be careful of every stone that you should throw. Yeah. And if we spend the day throwing stones,
'cause I don't think or wear my hair the same way you do. Well, I may be common people, but I'm your brother. And when you strike out and try to hurt me, it's hurting you. Lord have mercy. Walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile in my shoes. Pay before you abuse, criticize and accuse. Walk a mile in my shoes. There are people on reservations and out in the ghetto. And brother there, but for the grace of God, go you and I. Yeah. And if I only had the wings of a little angel, well, don't you know I'd fly to the top of a mountain and then I'd cry. Hey, walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile.
From 1970, Joe South and the Believers, Walk a Mile in My Shoes, the unofficial theme song to Walk a Mile in My Shoes on the Path to Peace. And here with us as a special guest is Reverend Donna Christine Park. And I saw how touched you were by that song. Tell us how that song makes you feel and how you were touched by the words of that wonderful song.
It's an invitation to be aware of inviting us to not judge another human being. You know, you haven't walked a mile in my shoes. And I have a story about my gold naturalizer shoes that I wore when I faced being homeless back in the day. And my toes were coming out the sides, and now they're, you know, there's no bottoms on them, but that's another story. But I keep those shoes to keep me humble. And during this time, when there was a sale at Kmart, I would go and buy $2.50. And my gosh, that was a big deal to go and buy a pair of canvas shoes that I could use for this particular time in my life. And so shoes really are, they really do tell a story. Have you ever considered that every pair of shoes you have tells a story? And I delight in inviting you to look at your shoes. You know, the good times and the more challenging times and where they have, how they have brought you to where you are today. So I celebrate you and I celebrate the blessings of Walk a Mile in My Shoes. Thank you
so
much.
Absolutely. And you probably enjoy, because that's one of the touching lines in Forrest Gump. He tells the lady, you know, about the shoes. You know, he says his mom always said you could tell a person about their shoes, where they're going, where they're coming from.
Oh,
kind of right along
that.
The same
yes.
line of what you were saying.
I'm going to have to reconsider that.
Yeah. It's rewatch Forrest Gump.
I will do that.
And you'll note that he was a very intuitive character and little things mm-hmm. like that he noted. And that's an amazing lesson.
Well, may I share with you
sure.
that in my new shoes, I have actually walked 7.2 miles on the Appalachian Trail. And
wow.
that is to honor Peace Pilgrim. We, you know, we could go into a whole long hour about that. But, you know, what you don't know is that I use a walker. And I didn't, well, you can't use a walker on the Appalachian Trail. But it was an amazing experience to be able to stand on the rock at Springer Mountain outside Dahlonega, Georgia, and stand there with my arms up and say, I did this. It is truly Walk a Mile in My Shoes on the path to peace, my true intention.
Awesome. Well, this has been an honor and a privilege to have you here.
Thank you.
Reverend Donna Christine Park and a wonderful organization.
Thank you.
I hope you folks get a chance to stop by the Facebook page, say hello to her, and thank you so much for being part of this really big shoe right here on radio once more.
Woohoo Whims!
Exactly. This has been a lot of fun here on radio once more with our extra special.
It's Woohoo Extra.
Woohoo!
Absolutely. So another big woohoo for you, Donna Christine, and for Whams.
Woohoo!
There we go. All right, folks. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you had a little bit of fun. Donna Christine is certainly a delight, and we'll have her on again, you know, because she flies in and flies out of Mount Holly every now and then, and she's just a joy to spend some time with. So we'll definitely do this again in the future. And we hope you folks have a wonderful Friday and a great weekend, and we'll be chatting with you soon. So until next time, take care, folks, and have a wonderful day.
So long!